Cruel Summer. Written by Zenaida Makura and recorded by Tipsy Kitty. Fandom, Captain America. How it started was this. Bucky got a summer job selling ice cream at the fancy membership-only pool on the west side of town, because apparently people with one arm have a hard time getting lifeguard gigs. Maybe he could have fought it, because he's actually certified, but also, fuck it. It's only a 3-month job and the pay is the same, plus ice cream and tips. And being a one-armed ice cream slinger means extra tips. He quickly learned how to flip the ice cream scoop while grinning cheekily, and bam, suddenly he's making way more than he would have as a lifeguard. Anyway, that's the boring part of how it all started. How it all really, really started was that Steve Rogers loves ice cream, and Bucky loves flirting. Honestly, he flirts with cats and sweet old ladies and grocery store cashiers who look pissed at the world. He even flirts with the adorably surly goth high school kids who work at the comic book store, and the possibly 500-year-old cryptkeeper guy who's always playing chess outside his mom's shitty apartment building. He just likes to see what might make people smile. It's innocent enough. But sometimes it gets him into trouble, and before he knows it, Steve is lingering by his ice cream station for 1 minute, then 5 minutes, then 20 minutes after his shift ends. Steve considers tiny red lifeguard shorts with no shirt an entire outfit, and he has this way of licking his lips real slow and looking up at Bucky from under his eyelashes, his pecs glistening under whatever devil's combination of sunscreen and sweat and possibly just a tiny bit of Edward Cullen sparkle is happening there, making snarky comments about their bosses and the snobby people who pay thousands of dollars a summer to exclusively swim in whatever the hell Aquafina water is in this pool. Steve also likes to talk about the sorry state of politics, and Bucky's kinda swooning over all these muscles being attached to a brain. It's really an unfair combination. Okay, so, in only the second week of the summer, Bucky is weak. He's weak and he never said he wasn't. Steve jumps in the water to save Mrs. McAllister's dumbass kid like a hero, and everyone is fine. But Steve's all hyped up on adrenaline, and he clearly needs a stress reliever. And Bucky's a friendly guy, as previously established. So, okay, maybe Bucky offers him a blowjob on his break behind the vending machines that no one ever uses. And Steve is really so sweet about it, even though he doesn't offer to reciprocate. Bucky can handle that. You don't offer a behind-the-second-rate vending machine's blowy during your lunch break and expect a box of chocolates and flowers afterwards. Maybe Steve doesn't know where he is on the Kinsey scale yet, and Bucky's not trying to tell him how to live his life. The only bad part is that Steve's cock kind of tastes like coconut sunscreen, and now Bucky may have a Pavlovian response to that scent for the rest of his life. Oh. And the other bad part is that Steve stops lingering by Bucky's ice cream station after work. So, whoops. And that's that then. But it's not that, because a few days later, Bucky and Riley are at the taco place that has very cheap margaritas and very poor consistency, rechecking the IDs of college students back home for the summer. And who rolls in but Steve Rogers? Wearing a shirt, though. Bucky barely recognizes him with his glistening pecs hidden, accompanied by Natasha and Sam. Sam kind of has a crush on Bucky's buddy, Riley, and so they join up and Steve sits right down next to Bucky and talks to him all night about the need to either reform or just plain abolish how prison bail works, like the vending machine incident never happened. And then there's kind of a repeat of the vending machine situation, but this time it's in an alley and, look, Bucky's only a man, and it's a small town, okay? There aren't that many age-appropriate, exceptionally handsome lifeguards around for him to have sexual experiences with. And again, Steve smells like that coconut sunscreen. And again, Steve consents eagerly but doesn't reciprocate. And honestly, Bucky's kind of mad at himself this time, because what is he doing? But he's bored, and this is just fun, right? Right. Except, Riley was too shy to actually get Sam's number, the ding-dong, and so Bucky has to construct another opportunity for them to hang out. The very next night, they're back at the taco place, and they have music playing on the outdoor patio, and Bucky asks Natasha to dance, and Steve's watching him dark over his tortilla chips, And Bucky keeps giving him these flirty looks and doing his best dance moves. And the next thing he knows, he and Steve are back in the alley, making out this time, which is a dream of lips and muscles. And Bucky's so drunk, and Steve's so strong. It's really a very good decision. And Bucky gives Steve yet another unreciprocated blowjob. Look, honestly, his hand is fine, especially with all the fresh material of Steve gasping, "Bucky," breathlessly into Bucky's mouth, and the scrape of Steve's nails under Bucky's shirt when Bucky was biting down his neck, and the way he pulls Bucky's hair but tries not to when he comes. But seriously, Steve? Seriously? So, it becomes kind of a pattern, and it's the dumbest pattern that dumb Bucky has ever dumbed into. And honestly, he should have just stayed in Boston and taken summer classes, except his scholarship didn't cover them. But he'd rather be beating his head on his fluid mechanics homework than stuck in this ridiculous pattern of making out with, and then sucking some blonde guy's dick every couple of days for weeks with nothing, in return. Probably the guy has 10 girlfriends and Bucky's basically a homewrecker. But summer is so boring. Lonely. It's lonely. Bucky's lonely. He's starting to realize he has a massive crush on Steve, because in addition to his coconut-scented dick and glistening pecs, he's actually very intelligent and mostly very nice to Bucky, except for the way he gets super weird after he gets off. But the more Bucky thinks about it, Steve talks a lot about stuff he's passionate about, but he doesn't tell Bucky anything personal about himself, like where he lives or his family situation, which, red flags, you absolute donut. Bucky decides he's not doing anything else with Steve unless Steve initiates it. And to his surprise and regret, Bucky actually sticks to his resolution, and Steve doesn't initiate anything with him. So, blah. A few weeks pass. Steve's back to lingering by Bucky's ice cream station before and after his shifts now, and talking about politics with his tiny red shorts and his heaving bosom on display like he's on the cover of a romance novel / Washington Post hybrid. Bucky is not emotionally equipped for this. Whatever this is. Being completely out of his depth doesn't stop Bucky from unwrapping a red, white, and blue bomb pop and slowly filleting it, while Steve talks about how the Supreme Court should have term limits, until Steve is kind of stuttering and losing his train of thought and swallowing hard with a blush high on his cheeks. But Steve doesn't ask him out. He doesn't even invite him behind the shitty vending machines, or the nice vending machines. So, whatever. Bucky has his hand. It's a great hand. He's only got the one, but he's sure making good use of it. Huh? He feels like Steve would really laugh hard at that dumb joke, but alas. It wouldn't sting so bad, except that Sam and Riley are now apparently in true love forever and soulmates. Also, gasp, the shock, having healthy sexual interactions that are two-sided and not just one very pathetic guy, who will die alone, servicing a guy, who probably thinks he's straight, but who knows because that guy doesn't talk about real things with Bucky because why? Bucky doesn't know. What's wrong with him? Steve is just so nice to everyone, including Bucky, which is the weirdest part and the biggest mindfuck of all of it. But he doesn't like Bucky like that. Also, he apparently thinks very little of Bucky, right? Like, he's taken advantage of Bucky's sluttiness way too many times. And that's rude, you know? It's fucking rude is what it is, and fuck Steve. But not actually fuck Steve, because we're not doing anything else with Steve unless Steve initiates it, because Bucky's strong enough to stick to his principles even though he's drunk. Right, Wanda? Wanda nods kindly, and Bucky starts crying. Because alcohol, mainly. And Wanda takes his sobbing hot mess home from the bar and tucks him in. His mom's not even home. Where the fuck even is she? It's super late. But whatever. Because Wanda is a good friend and she gets him, or at least tolerates him. And all of this is going to pass. It's just a summer crush. And he'll go back to school in the fall, and he'll have fluid mechanics to keep him company. So, that will be great. Can't wait. Super. Everything is awesome. The next day, Bucky's hungover as fuck and doesn't have the energy to flip his ice cream scoop, so he gets hardly any tips. He eats slash steals a somewhat distressing amount of espresso ice cream, which helps with the headache, but now he just feels stretched out and kind of has a stomach ache. But fuck it. The interesting part of the day is that Steve wanders by his ice cream station a few more times than is statistically probable given where he's supposed to be working. And each time he clears his throat awkwardly, but doesn't say anything. Which is weird, but whatever. Bucky's done with Steve unless Steve initiates, and awkward throat clearing is not initiating. Steve turns up at the end of Bucky's shift looking determined. "We should go for a walk," he announces in this firm voice, like the one he uses when he's telling kids they have to take turns at the diving board. Bucky blinks at him. "Yeah, okay, I could just walk. Who doesn't love a good walk? You want some ice cream for the walk?" Steve does. Bucky pulls two soft-serve chocolate vanilla swirls and takes off his apron and waves goodbye to Wanda, who's just rolled in to take over. "I want to apologize for my earlier behavior," Steve says formally. Bucky takes a little kitten lick of his ice cream while glancing up through his lashes. Because look, yeah, he's eating his ice cream all sexy. What of it? He waits for Steve to explain what kind of behavior he's planning on apologizing for. But apparently Steve's out of words and just staring plaintively at him. Bucky finally shrugs. "Okay, we're cool, I think, unless you did some stuff I don't know about." "I feel like I didn't communicate my standing, and that made things less than optimal between us," Steve tries again. Steve really needs to do more regular college student shit and less reading the New York Times. "I'm not as experienced as you, and I've been intimidated by that. And I should have made that clear from our initial interaction. But I failed to do so." Whatever is happening, Bucky has his ice cream. So that was a good call. "What I'm trying to say is, well, okay, I assume I missed my chance. But Sam said I wasn't allowed to come home until I said something to you to clarify that one way or the other. And he said I've been a massive dick. So, anyway, if you wanted to go on a date with me, I'd like that. And I'd like to..." Steve sighs, and his face is really very red. "I've only been with women," he blurts out. "Some people want the chocolate, some want the vanilla, some want the swirl." Bucky shrugs. "No shame in that." "I want the swirl," Steve says. "I just don't know how to swirl." "Well, ain't that a conundrum?" Bucky says, taking another lick of his ice cream. "All the times it all just happened so fast, and I kept panicking," Steve says in a rush. "I wanted to, you know, but I didn't, and I guess I was too shy to ask what you might want. I just sort of hoped we'd keep doing it and I'd figure it out, but then you stopped. And I missed my chance." "Are you saying you need the scoop on how to lick a popsicle?" Bucky says thoughtfully. "Bucky, come on. This isn't funny." Steve looks like he's not sure if he should be mad. "'Cause I could write a dissertation on that. You could say I'm very experienced," Bucky continues. "Bucky," Steve says, exasperated, but he's laughing. "I'm legendary," Bucky continues. "Positively iconic. Those puns are awful." "Rude. I think they're very tasteful." "Bucky, that's not what I'm not fishing for that. I mean, I like that. I really like that, but look, stop charming me for a second," Steve says, and Bucky pauses in surprise. Steve takes a deep breath. "I am trying to say I want a date. A real date with you," Steve says earnestly. And Bucky can handle assholes, but the world never prepared him to handle such earnestness. Then Steve switches to a little smirk, and that smirk is going to be the actual death of Bucky Barnes. "I think it would be de-iceful to spend more time with you," Steve tries, You're very sweet. Bucky laughs and gives Steve a long look as he finishes his ice cream cone. And Steve kind of shifts nervously and rubs his hand on the back of his neck. And he looks like a little boy, despite being positively enormous. And maybe this summer isn't the worst after all. I'm still hungry, Bucky says finally. Let's go out for dinner. My treat. And then after dinner, if you still feel like it, your treat. The end.